Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
Well, good morning to you all.
Good morning.
So today we resume our reflections on the tools for good works. This is tool 61. It reads, obey the orders of the abbot unreservedly, even if his own conduct, which God forbid, be at odds with what he says. Remember the teaching of the Lord. Do what they say, not what they do. The Kardong translation is very close, so I will not read that today, and I will. The Latin is straightforward, other than the word preceptis, where we get the English word precepts, so I will comment on that a little later in the conference, because there is some nuances, some significant nuances to that Latin word preceptis, precepts. St. Benedict quotes from the Gospel of Matthew on this instrument of good works. He says, remember the teaching of the Lord, do what they say, not what they do. This is from Matthew chapter 23, and again, you will be familiar probably with chapter 23. The whole chapter, woe, 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 is how Jesus goes on and on and on. Woe to you, Pharisees, etc. So you're already familiar with it. The entire chapter denounces the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Well, certainly, from a biblical viewpoint and historical viewpoint, there was opposition between the Pharisees and Jesus. Although it can be said, Jesus was closer to the Pharisaical school in many ways in his teaching and his positions. That may sound like a surprise, but in actual fact, it's not that divided. But nevertheless, there was opposition. Maybe that's why there was so much opposition, because Jesus sounded like he was taking the position in various ways as the Pharisees taught, and yet he went off and then taught further or taught in different ways contrary to what the Pharisees thought he should be teaching. And, you know, are you one of us or are you not one of us, etc. But nevertheless, chapter 23 clearly goes beyond this opposition, this tension between Jesus and the Pharisees, as far as Jesus' ministry. And the scholars would say that the chapter reflects the animosity between Pharisaic Judaism and the church of Matthew at the time of this gospel composition, approximately between 70 and 80 AD. So by this point, there were growing tensions between the Christians and the Jews. Now, the author of Matthew is not just purely anti-Pharisaic, because the evangelist discerns in his church, again, just reading through the gospel, you can discern that this evangelist, we call Matthew, is concerned that many of the same faults that the Pharisees symbolize is found in his own church. So he warns his fellow Christians to watch over their own conduct and their attitudes to avoid, or the danger, maybe pointing out, of self-righteousness. So having said that, let's look more specifically at the rule and the role of the abbot as to start with here. Certainly, we can't deny that there is a focus on the abbot's orders here. Obey the orders of the abbot unreservedly. But, and this really is in the context of our recent community renewal forum on synodality and subsidiarity, and co-responsibility. That's the word I was thinking of. It wouldn't come to me. Because in chapter 32, which is entitled The Tools and Goods of the Monastery, the very first verses, three verses, the abbot delegates authority to the various department heads. He doesn't use that word, but that's the word we use today. And therefore, suddenly, this obedience or focus on the abbot's orders expands the abbatial authority and obedience. And so what the department head decides or requests or corrects or admonishes, he does so in the spirit of this delegation, because he does in this moment does represent the abbot, and both, so therefore the department head and the monk that receives the directive have responsibility to one another. And in the spirit of chapter 32, St. Benedict makes it very clear that this, you know, whatever is done or what is directed is more than doing what is asked. Because St. Benedict goes on to say it's nothing less than your obedience to God. And therefore, an obedience to God is about witnessing and proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. That's ultimately why, or what, you know, because we're in conjunction with the will of God as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, as we pointed it out a couple weeks ago on this renewal form. And therefore, I realize the kingdom in this moment of action, carrying out the order, you know, and if we would constantly have that at the heart of the order, as it were, and have that in mind, suddenly, you know, the littlest details, whether it's you know, how we house clean or shut the doors, or how we take care of the equipment, suddenly it's not just, you know, a practical thing of just making sure the floor is shining or clean, or keeping the tools in good order and not breaking them. Or if I do break them, I go and tell the proper authority I've broken something. Suddenly, you know, it's the kingdom. And I'm either blocking the kingdom from flourishing, you know, by whatever I do, or allowing the kingdom to shine forth and proclaim the glory of God. So, you know, again, when we stop and think about these little details or aspects of the rule that we hear every day and then let go in one ear and go out the other, it really, it's a pretty big deal, and it's quite challenging. Now, obedience to the abbot in the rule of St. Benedict, well, first of all, to obey the abbot, despite his obvious defects, is, first of all, this is cenobitism, life in the cenobium. because Cenobites are committed to the authority of a rule and an abbot, as we know from the rule itself. In other words, a Cenobite is committed to a community, and this includes the abbot, who is a member of the community. And St. Benedict is very clear in chapter 3 when he says, summon the brothers for counsel, where he says, all are to follow the teaching of the rule, all. And no one shall rashly deviate from it. And further on in the same chapter, Benedict says, the abbot must keep the rule in everything he does. And then in chapter 64, the election of an abbot, again, St. Benedict is insistent, the abbot must, above all, keep this rule in every particular. Now, this contrasts with the anchoritic or the hermit life, where a commitment is not to a rule in the sense of a community, it's to a particular person, an elder, and one is free to abandon this elder, this master, for whatever reason, and go and search out another master. Cenobites do not and cannot move on, if you want to put it that way. And perhaps that is, and it really, I think, is far more challenging. And maybe that is why St. Benedict says Cenobites are the strongest of the monk, of the types of monks. Because of, whether you call it, really it's in context of today's gospel for the Mass that we're going to read, about staying connected to the vine, the branch and the vine. Cenobites, their stability keeps them from running away, but holding firm to the straight and narrow path. Okay, now let's look at the abbot's behavior and teaching. Now, I mentioned in Latin, St. Benedict uses the word preceptis, abatis, in omnibus obedire. You know, obey the abbot's orders in all things. The word the abbot's orders, preceptis. Well, precepta, precept, as we would more likely say in English, well, we know that that is a biblical word. It's a law in the Bible. The precepts of the Lord. Of course, that's what we sing in Psalm 119 here, which we will in a moment. How wonderful the precepts of the Lord are. Da, 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 da. So it's very unusual for this word to be used in the rule of St. Benedict, making reference to the abbot. In fact, it's this tool 61 is the only place in the rule where St. Benedict uses the word precepta in reference to the abbot. But this does not imply that the abbot, therefore, in this sense, is the Lord God, making the Ten Commandments, which are precepts, right? What St. Benedict wants to emphasize is that these teachings of the abbot are always in conformity to the precepts of the Lord. So the abbot's precepts are the precepts of the Lord. Now, again, this is strong language, but again, this is a safeguard, you know, because the abbot just, you know, well, we look at chapter 2, you know, on the qualities of an abbot. St. Benedict says the abbot's got to lead the disciples by a twofold teaching. And this is the magic phrase. The abbot must never teach or decree or command anything that would deviate from the Lord's precepts. Okay. So the precepts of the abbot are always biblical, evangelical, derived from God's commands. And furthermore, the abbot is to point out all that is good and holy, more by example than words. If he teaches his disciples that something is not to be done, then neither must he do it, because it's contrary to the precepts of the Lord. So, at least we hope, this is not an easy conference sometimes to speak, because you're speaking about yourself. But, you know, the idea is, it's the precepts of the Lord. And so, what we hope for is that whatever the abbot teaches is truly rooted in the scripture and is actual fact the precept of the Lord. You know, so again, that's quite a radical teaching. But there's lots of safeguards in place, although there can be that abuse of authority, which our current abbot general is concerned about and wants us also to reflect upon in the context of some of the sexual abuse or the other abuse that we saw a little last night, because those were clear examples of abuse of authority and in some of those cases. But what are the checks and balances? Well, we have to look at obedience in the rule, because the first step of humility is unhesitating obedience. That's actually from chapter 5 on the chapter on obedience. The first step of humility is unhesitating obedience, which applies to everyone again, because again, the abbot lives faithfully according to the rule. But in chapter 7, which is the chapter on humility, as you know, the eighth step of humility is a monk does only what is endorsed by the common rule of the monastery and the example set by the seniors. Suddenly, every senior shares, therefore, in the abbot's authority in a particular way. So suddenly every senior here, whoever you're senior to, or whoever you're junior to, or whatever, if you're a senior to someone, you are called to be the model, again, of the Lord's precepts. So again, this is very radical stuff. Chapter 71, which we will read tomorrow when we read the rule, on mutual obedience, clearly St. Benedict says, obedience is a blessing, not a curse. It's a blessing to be shown by all, not only to the abbot, but also to one another as brothers. It's a blessing because every precept of the Lord is a blessing. Or it can't be a blessing. It's a beatitude. You know, blessed are the humble of heart or the pure of heart, etc. Again, that's from chapter, from Matthew. And furthermore, in this chapter, St. Benedict says, by this obedience we go to God. Well, of course, if it's from God, this is precisely why, you know, fiat voluntas tua, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the path to God. Furthermore, in chapter 72, good zeal of monks. Monks are to compete in obedience then, meaning we're all fighting in a good way to get to proclaim the kingdom and to arrive at the kingdom first. I mean, you know, and we have that beautiful story from the Exemplum, you know, of this vision or whatever it is, of a monk, and he sees all these Cistercian monks racing towards heaven, but no one enters. Whoever gets there first waits for all the others and helps the others, and so they all enter heaven together. You know, it's some of you won't get this, but for those of us who grew up and would see the Rockettes on television, they were a dance troupe in Radio City, New York. They were all in step together perfectly. Well, you know, we're not exactly Rockettes, but on the other hand, that's the idea, that we're all in step and we're all helping one another. And we don't cross over without grabbing my brother's hand and pulling him over too. You know, of course, we're dealing with eternity, so we don't have to worry about chronological time. Because, I mean, obviously a number of our brothers have gone ahead of us in chronological time, but it's a beautiful thought. They're waiting at kind of, they're not going to go into that the gates until you and I get there, as it were. At any rate, we compete in this obedience. So we know we don't pursue what we think is better for ourselves, but rather we what we judge better for everyone else in the community. Again, this is so radical. And I think we quickly can make excuses for not obeying. So quickly, at least in our minds, our logismoi project, you know, so much on one another and on the abbot. But again, at the heart of it, we obey God and not human beings, and God working through not just the abbot, but one another. And again, in the context of these precepts of the Lord. So, obey the precepts of the abbot unreservedly, even if his own conduct, which God forbid, be at odds with what he says. Okay, just a couple of announcements.